Thanks for joining me for another episode of Accented. This series is based on conversations with real people who all have different English accents. You get to hear really cool stories and listen to how people enunciate their words. On today's episode, you'll be hearing from Leo Paul, who has a French accent, and he's also my husband. Hello, welcome to another episode of Accented. Thanks for joining me once again. Now, today's episode is a little bit different. I've been meaning to interview my husband as he's been speaking English for about 12 years now, has lived in Australia and has worked there, and now we're back in his home country in France. And he's never lost his accent. And I want to chat to him about that, why he hasn't tried to lose his accent, because I have a lot of people who really don't want their accent known when they're speaking. So without further ado, I'm going to start chatting to Leo Paul. Hi, welcome back to another episode of Accented. I am outdoors, as you can probably hear, and it's the first time that I'm interviewing somebody face to face, and it is my husband, Leo Paul. And I should have had him on the show earlier because he's a great example of someone having an accent. He is French, he's a civil engineer, and when we met, his English was quite poor. I would say he's bilingual now. So welcome to the show, Leo Paul.
Yeah, thank you to have me on the show, Kimberly. And indeed, I was waiting for the invitation to thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Well, maybe I just thought you would eventually lose your accent, so I never had you on the show. But you've never lost this French accent. So why is it that you have such a thick French accent? Or you haven't? Because a lot of students ask me, how can I get rid of my accent? Why have you not tried to get rid of this accent?
I think the first thing is that I have never bothered. Because for me, English is a way to communicate. And as long as people understand me and that I understand people, I'm fine. So that's probably the first reason. So I don't really feel a need to lose this accent. And the second reason is that I think it's an asset to have an accent, French accent.
French accent particularly.
Maybe if I had a German or Russian accent, I would have lost it. I'm kidding. I'm having a joke. But no offense to anyone. But I think, yeah, it's an asset. In the way that in my field, I'm an engineer. In my field, we have very complex situations with very complex problems. And quite often, people just explain the problem, define a solution, and they feel that it's all right. But having someone from a different background enables the questioning of the problems or the solution. And I think it triggers a lot of things that wouldn't be there if I didn't have an accent, if I was not a second language speaker. For example, you're in a meeting and someone says, I want that kind of thing, and this is how I think I should resolve it. And what you understand quite well when you are second language speaker that when you question the question or the response, there are sometimes subtle differences in the way people interpret it. And because you are a second language speaker, you will interrogate that a lot more easily. And the people will forgive you. They will forgive the fact that you ask the questions, sometimes stupid questions, but stupid questions are most often the best one, because they trigger something else. They trigger some more discussions, and I think it's helped me a lot in my uh, in my career today. And that's why also I want to keep it. I want to keep it because I want to be able to trigger those discussions and to keep enabling progress in my field.
I don't think as well you're consciously trying to keep your accent. I do hear that it has toned down a lot.
Yeah, probably with the use, but I have friends, you know, trying to. I mean, I'm not sure if they try or not, but they really lose their accents. They really, and you couldn't see that they are French or from any background. And sometimes they just fit in a situation, and they are like, you know, like the other people around the table. I like to be a bit different. I like it.
Yeah, and I hear that, and I hear that. You're starting to pick up a bit of the Aussie accent with some of the words that you use.
Yeah, it's with a lot of proudness that I'm starting to speak Aussie as well.
Yeah. Well, we are sitting here in France, and I guess with all this background noise that you're hearing, we're camping in the Alps. Well, it is a very beautiful spot. I'm reluctantly camping. This is something Leo used to do as a child, and he would like to relive those memories with our children.
Relive, no. I just think that it's a nice place. It's a nice way to travel and experience different things. I really like to experience different kind of things, and you know, I like hotels, like beautiful hotels. I like camping. I like staying at friends. I like every single experience, and that's why I bring you here, because I think it's a nice experience and it's something different.
It is. It is beautiful here. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know if camping is my cup of tea.
Okay, fair enough.
Since I did bring my microphones, I have noticed while we're camping here that there are so many different English accents. And it's interesting because English obviously seems to be the key language between many other languages. So if you're from Germany or you're from France and you're here, I guess usually people would communicate in English because that seems to be the most common language.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. I mean, even in France, and French people, they don't really like to speak another language. Even in France, I think we are speaking more and more English, and that's just because it's a worldwide language. I think the French, I'm very, very attached, I have big connections with the French language. But you have to admit that English is, if you are with someone from another background, English is a way to communicate. And it's not the language the most spoken in the world, it's probably Mandarin, I will say, or something like that. But it is definitely the language that you use if you want to experience different. If you travel, if you see some different kind of people, and even in France, where we are very bad in languages in general, we are trying to be better and better here. So yeah, and a lot of people are coming in this area. France is a very touristic place. And for sure, we have people from England, but even people from the Eastern Europe, they will speak English coming in France. They wouldn't speak French, or they wouldn't speak German. They will speak English.
I was reading a book in English as I was going to the bathroom just before, and I noticed that a woman asked me a question in English, and obviously she wasn't a native speaker. So
It's a way to communicate. It's a bit like what was maybe Greek in the antiquity. It's maybe a bit like what is Mandarin around the Southeast Asia, and especially was last century. I mean, it's really something like that. It's a language that is, it's a tool that is used to communicate. You know, people, they need to communicate anyway, and standards, I think, they appear in any, you know, they appear. And because there is so many contacts between people in those days, they need to be one language. And I think maybe history made it English. Maybe it could have been something else, but it is English. That's a fact.
So how important is it to use English in your job?
Ah, it's paramount. It's very, very important. It's I think, you know, whether you are talking about the job that you are doing on site, because you, I'm doing generally like big infrastructures, you will have to speak English because you have people from all different backgrounds, whether they are workers or suppliers or subcontractors. It's an international business, so you make them come from far away, and they come and they do the job. So you need to communicate, and you surely communicate in English. So it's very important for that. It's also important also to be up to date with your field and most of the scientific documentation is in English, so you need to be able to speak it. Even the French norms, you know, they will be translated in English for people that don't understand French. So yeah, you need to speak English in this field. And I think it's also a very good tool for you to be able to go overseas, because generally projects can be anywhere, and people can stay in their country. They can do it. They can have a career in their country. That's completely possible. But you have a lot of people that leave their country and have an experience, whether it's a whole career or a couple of years in another country, such as, I don't know, Asia is always booming. Australia is booming, the Middle East, or North America. Maybe if you're going to South America, maybe it's a bit different. Spanish is very strong there. I'm not sure. I've never worked there. But generally speaking, you know, worldwide, yeah, you'd need to speak English.
It's interesting you have said that, because I work for a Spanish edtech company, and I've noticed that in Latin America, a lot of my colleagues are fluent in English. So, and I'm not aware of Latin America either. I've never visited. Maybe that's something or somewhere we should go.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, as I was saying, I'm keen for any experience. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So what have you found living in Australia? So you were taught English at school, and then you came to Australia because I made you come with me.
Yeah.
And what did you find when you came to Australia?
So I think it was very hard. First, because I was used to speak with you, so you know, it's a kind of conversation where like typically a conversation that you have between two persons that, you know, like conversations. And then you go into working in an environment where everyone speaks English very well first, and I was probably less skilled in English at the time. And I come and I'm in engineering, where there is heaps of acronyms, there is people with very thick Australian accent, very, you know, like workers, you know, people really, you know, and they don't make the effort to speak differently, and they couldn't anyway, and I'm not expecting them to make an effort for me, and I shouldn't. So it was very hard in the first 2 or 3 months. I had headaches, and it was hard for me to adapt. And maybe I didn't tell you, but it was really hard. It was really hard from, you know, I was doing a lot of, I was thinking a lot. I was, you know, focusing a lot. And finally, little by little, you get used to it, and you just, you know, the acronyms. You make a list of acronyms, and you go back to it, and you learn them, and you learn the accent, the culture, a lot of things. And yeah, no, I wouldn't have any issue. And sometimes it's hard for me to work in the French environment. No.
You've now come back to France, and it's been 6 months working here. Has it been hard to adapt?
Yeah, but not for a language reason. I think it was more the... It's more the... You get used to a culture, and the French culture is very different to the Australian one. So it's always, you know, you always have to adapt again. It's been difficult, but I think now with my Aussie flair, I'm different and I'm more laid back. So I'm better. I'm better in managing that. And I think maybe if we stayed in another country, maybe like the US or England, I think it would have been more difficult to come back here. Now with my experience and my the way I'm Australian as well, thanks to you. I'm coping quite well.
Well, that's good. I guess you're enjoying the food here.
Oh, yeah.
The cheese.
Yeah. Our food is incredible. What is incredible here in Europe, not only in France, compared to Australia, is the taste of vegetables and fruits. My God, what? It's not the same. I love it. I love a good strawberry, peach, or anything like that.
I do like stone fruits as well.
Yeah. Okay, on arrive.
So, Leo Paul, thank you for coming onto the show. I know that I will get you on again because you are very interesting to listen to, and you have a lot of good insights as a second language speaker.
It's maybe not so practical here, and in face-to-face you must feel very different, because I don't think an interview is the same when it's face-to-face compared to when it's online or over the phone. So,
and when we have children calling out to us to come and help them.
Exactly.
I know. I guess we're just trying to fit everything into our busy schedule. And trying to get an episode out, as I promised the audience that I would, on the 15th and 30th of each month.
Okay.
So thank you so much for coming on the show, Leo. It's been a pleasure having you, and no doubt I'll have you on very soon.
No, thank you for having me, and it would be a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Accented. I'm your host, Kimberly Law. Accented is released on the 15th and 30th of each month. If you'd like to find out more about me, please head to kimslawofenglish.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts, so don't forget to leave a review of the podcast or even a star rating. Speak to you soon.